We're turning tonight for our Bible reading to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. We're going to read from verse 1 of this chapter. It's a very, very familiar chapter. It records an account of Samson's life that even the boys and girls, I trust, will be very, very familiar with. So let me encourage the boys and girls who are here tonight to follow along as well. And not just, of course, the boys and girls, but all who have gathered in. Judges chapter 16. We're going to read from verse 1. We're going to have a longer reading than normal tonight. But I do want to pick up the account that is recorded for us here. These are very, very important words and a very important narrative in Samson's experience that we want to look at this evening. So Judges chapter 16 and verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza, and saw there a harlot, and went in unto her. And it was told the Gazites, saying, Samson is come hither. They compassed him in, and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, In the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city, and the two posts, and went away with them, bar and all, and put them upon his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of an hill, that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me, and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fashioned it with the pin, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam, and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep, and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Amen. We're going to finish our reading at verse 22. And we pray the Lord will bless the word of God to our hearts. I want to take a little phrase from verse 19 tonight and draw your attention to this picture that is painted for us of Samson asleep on Delilah's knee. And take that text, verse 19, and this incident in Judges 16, and ask the question tonight, Christians, are we asleep? Are we asleep? Taking this picture, this very sad picture in Judges 16 as our starting point. So with our Bibles open there, let's seek the Lord together in a further word of prayer. Father, we come before thee now with thy precious word open before us. We thank thee for the scriptures of truth. Lord, we thank thee that when the lives of thy people are recorded in scripture, we have a record not only of their victories, but of their failures, that we can learn from them. These things have been written for our admonition. They've been written for our instruction, for our example. And we pray, Lord, tonight that thou will come and teach us. Teach us from this Old Testament passage. We thank thee tonight while we have read of a judge who was asleep. We thank thee for a greater judge who never sleeps. We thank thee for Christ himself who is able to keep us. And we pray, Lord, tonight that thou would give thy people grace and help in these days in which we live, that we might be those who watch and pray lest we fall into temptation. So abide with us now tonight. Minister to our hearts, we pray. Lord, speak to us, and we pray that if there are those in the service who are cold at heart tonight, that thou would have mercy especially upon them. Draw them unto thyself afresh, we pray, that they might know thy rich blessing to be their portion. So answer prayer, fill me with thy spirit, give help in the ministry of thy word. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. The text that is before us this evening describes what I will call one of the most tragic and disturbing scenes concerning a man of God anywhere in the Old Testament. And I say that for up until this point in his life, Samson, the man referred to in this chapter, had served God with incredible courage and incredible commitment. Samson had been raised up as a judge when the Philistines were in the ascendancy. And from the time he began to rule his people, he had known some notable successes. Samson had the power of God upon him. He had been practically invincible as a soldier. He became a leader among God's people when there was no one else to lead. He had a reputation as a man who knew God and who did exploits for him. For 20 years, Samson judged Israel. And it seems from the record of Scripture that by and large, those were years of very faithful and very fruitful service. But while Samson began well, his life took a turn for the worse, and towards the end of his ministry, this man of God made decisions and found himself in situations that were anything but good. So much so that he lost almost everything he had ever accomplished in his service for God. Now that brings me into the central verses of Judges chapter 16. In this section of the chapter, we do not discover Samson fighting with the Philistines. We do not find him championing the cause of Jehovah. We do not find him bringing deliverance to the people of Israel. We do not find him behaving as a faithful judge in any shape or form. Rather, we find Samson in a Philistine bedroom, surrounded by Philistine soldiers standing in the shadows and sleeping on the knees of a Philistine woman. I confess that it's almost incredible to think of this scene. The mighty Samson, the man who had been specially chosen by God for this particular work, a man who was a Nazarite from his mother's womb, a man who had been instrumental in delivering his people on numerous occasions, a man who had known the presence and the power of the Spirit of God upon him.
But
now he is sleeping in the presence of his enemies and about to be taken captive as a weak and powerless man. His past had been marked with signal victories and powerful blessings, but his present circumstances were very far removed from that. And therefore, it has to be one of the most tragic and disturbing scenes concerning a man of God anywhere in the Old Testament. And I fear there's a sense in which the scene that unfolds here in Judges chapter 16 is being repeated in the lives of many of God's people today. There are Christians who can look back on times in the past when they knew power and blessing and spiritual progress. There was a time when they were zealous for the things of God. A time when they loved to read the scriptures. A time when they loved to get alone with God and spend time with him in prayer. A time in the past when they loved to meet with God's people and lift up their voices in the corporate prayer meeting and in praise of God's holy name. They can look back to a time when they recognized the importance of holiness and they prayed with fervor that they might have grace to walk with God in a manner that brought glory to his name. There was a time when they wanted to be useful in Christian service. They were very often moved, sometimes to tears, when a missionary challenge was given. A time when the things of God were of the utmost importance to them. And as far as they were concerned, they sought to put Christ first and to seek his kingdom in the full assurance that all other things were added unto them. Nothing mattered more to them than to be like Jesus Christ. They knew the power of God. They sought to glorify God as they enjoyed him. Looking back over their lives, they can look back to a time when they rejoiced in all that Christ has done for them. And they looked to him to bless them and use them for his own glory. But tonight things are different. Things have changed. There's not the same zeal anymore. Not the same interest. Not the same heart for God. If I was to pick up the language of Revelation chapter 2, we would have to say that they have left their first love. If I was to pick up the language of Galatians 5 and verse 7, I'd have to say that while they started well in the Christian race, they have been hindered or driven back now. And things are not what they once were. And like Samson, they have fallen asleep. Christians can fall asleep spiritually. And Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he said to them in Romans 13, verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. The American minister Azahel Nettleton, who ministered in New England in the early 1800s, said of that text in Romans 13, the text is addressed to Christians. The language is borrowed from natural sleep, in which a person is in a great measure insensible to the objects and to what is passing around him, but life remains in the body, and thus it is when there is much insensibility to divine things among Christians, they sleep, but life remains in the soul. The Apostle Paul had to address the same issue when he wrote to the believers in his first letter to the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 6, he said, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And if we learn anything from these verses of Scripture, it is that it's possible for believers to fall asleep spiritually, to become insensible to what is going on around them, to become insensible to divine things, to become insensible to those things that are of the utmost importance. And I sense that we are living in a very sleepy age. Many Christians are asleep to the dangers of sin. Many are asleep to the threat posed to the church by false doctrine. Many are asleep to the moral mess that is gathering pace around us. Many are asleep to the powerful influences of the world upon our young people. Many are asleep to the subtle shifts in worship styles and where that will lead to in 5 or 10 or 15 years from now. Many are asleep to the great spiritual needs of a world that's plagued with militant Islam and other false religions. Many are asleep to the onward march of secularism and humanism and atheism. And some are asleep to their own spiritual coldness and lethargy. We are in a sleepy age, believer, and it's a tragedy. I don't think you can look at Samson lying on Delilah's knee in verse 19 there and read through the chapter carefully at home again tonight and come to verse 19 and just pause and ponder what is actually being said there. This mighty man of God, this man who knew the power of God in the past, and there he is like a child lying on Delilah's knee and he is fast asleep. It is a very disturbing, sad, and troublesome picture. And I don't think you can look at that picture that's in verse 19 and not be saddened by it. I don't think we can look at what's happening in many sections of the Church of Christ and not be saddened by it either. Many are like Samson lying asleep in the lap of the world and insensible to divine things. It's a very solemn theme, and one which has been heavy upon my heart. And I say that because when we think of the church asleep on the world's knee, or the Christian asleep, we are talking about those who belong to Christ, those for whom Christ died, those for whom Christ lives, those for whom Christ prays. And is it not a sad thing to see those who belong to Christ sleeping in this way? As believers, we are to be strong, we are to be spiritual, not slothful and sleepy. And so tonight I want to look at this picture and ask the question, Christians, are we asleep? And notice with me, first of all, here the pathway that leads to spiritual sleep. The pathway that leads to spiritual sleep. How did Samson ever come to be in this position? What led him into this particular state? After all, he did not set out to be in this predicament. This was not in Samson's plan. So how did he come to be in this state where he is in Delilah's chamber and he is upon her knee and he is sleeping? How did that come to pass? And by extension, what causes God's people to fall into a similar condition? What pathway leads to this? No Christian determines to fall asleep spiritually, and it doesn't just happen. There are things that precede this. There are steps that are taken. There are decisions that are made, a course that is followed that ultimately leads to this sad position. It's how it was with Samson. Let me explain some things here. Some spiritual sleep comes when there is a spirit of self-reliance. When there is a spirit of self-reliance, it's hard to read Judges 16 and not notice that Samson was confident in his own abilities. There is no sense of dependence upon God here. Samson felt that he could deal with whatever the Philistines threw at him. That's why he's able to play with Delilah as he does in regard to the secret of his strength. And when she says the Philistines are upon you, he just arises out of his sleep and breaks whatever ropes or threads, whatever she has upon him, and he just goes forth, and then he does it all again the next time because he is self-confident. That's why in verse 20 you have this statement that he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. Now note the language there. He says, I will go. I will shake myself as at other times. It's all about Samson trusting himself. It wasn't the first time he felt that way. Samson had been feeling that way for some time now, and I suspect his previous victories had led him to think that he was invincible And that spirit of self-reliance, that spirit of self-confidence, led him to sleep on Delilah's knees. He believed that he was self-sufficient. And that spirit is always going to be the forerunner of spiritual sleep and spiritual backsliding. We see that in the case of the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3, verses 15 to 17. The final letter to the seventh church there in those letters, in those opening chapters of Revelation, the Lord sends a message to the church and he tells them, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Then he adds these words, because thou sayest. Here's how the church at Laodicea was thinking. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Thou sayest, I am rich and need of nothing. What are they thinking? They're thinking that they're self-sufficient. They can survive without the Lord. That's why in the same chapter in verse 20 you find the Lord is outside the door. He has withdrawn himself. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's not a verse that's spoken to unbelievers. Some great heresy theologically that's presented from that text of Scripture. This is Christ outside the door of the church having withdrawn himself because there was a spirit of self-reliance and a spirit of self-confidence among the Laodicean believers. And that spirit of self-reliance or self-sufficiency is a very dangerous position for the child of God to be in. It's the forerunner. It's the forerunner, Christian, of spiritual sleep. We don't think we need to be on our guard anymore. We don't need to be alert anymore because we're self-sufficient. Furthermore, spiritual sleep comes when there is a lack of separation from sin. Samson had been set apart by God for a particular purpose. He was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. And he was called to be a judge with the particular purpose of delivering Israel from the Philistines. Now, Numbers chapter 6 and verse 3, we are given details about the vow of a Nazarite. He was to separate himself from wine and strong drink, and shall drink no vinegar of wine or vinegar of strong drink, neither shall he drink any liquor of grapes, nor eat moist grapes or dried. He was not to eat or drink the fruit of the vine. He wasn't to drink the wine, or he wasn't to drink the grapes, whether they were moist or whether they were dried. He was to have nothing to do with the fruit of the vine. But in Judges 16, verse 4, Samson, we're told, went down to the valley of Sorek. The word Sorek means a vine, suggesting here that Samson was in a place of vineyards. And it's while he's in the place of the vineyard that he falls in love with Delilah. He had no business being there. He was not to partake of the vineyard. He was not to partake of the vine. Yet that's where he is, down in the place of temptation. And while he's there in the valley of Sorek, he falls in love with Delilah. Her name means languishing. It comes from a word that means feeble or weak. And it's very obvious that Samson is down there in the valley of Sorek that he grows feeble and he grows weak in his separation. He is careless with the will of God. He set his heart on other things. Samson is in enemy territory now. And he's in love with an unholy woman. He ignored the need for separation. He doesn't watch his step. And as he continues in that alliance, he eventually falls asleep on the knee of this Philistine woman. Samson was at ease in his sin. The commentator Andrew Fawcett said, "The believer's danger is in affinity with unbelievers." A lack of separation, a lack of separation from sin, always leads to a tragic end. When God's people excuse sin, when God's people dismiss the need for personal sanctification, when God's people become weak in their obedience to God's word on the issue of holiness, when they think that holiness is old-fashioned and legalistic, they are already far down the road of falling asleep spiritually. There was a spirit of self-reliance. There was a lack of separation. And spiritual sleep comes when there is a weakness in prayer. There's one thing that's conspicuous by its absence in Samson's life. It was prayer. There are only two occasions recorded in the book of Judges where Samson prayed. One is in Judges 15 and verse 18, and the other is in Judges 16 and verse 28. I'm not suggesting for a moment that there are no other times when Samson prayed. But it seems from the record of Scripture that he made critical decisions in his life without seeking the mind or the will of God. There is no mention of him going to prayer when he went down to Gaza there in verse 1 of this chapter. There's no mention of him praying when he loved Delilah in the valley of Sorek in verse 4 of this chapter. And when she began to press him regarding the secret of his strength, we do not read that Samson took that matter to the Lord in prayer. He doesn't seem to have sought God's face in prayer to resist the temptations that were around him. He's a man who's weak in his prayer life. And that weakness had some part in the dreadful events that unfold in this chapter. Did Samson not feel the need for the Lord to guide him and guard him? He didn't need to pray, he thought. And the Christian who thinks he can do without prayer is sleepwalking to disaster. A prayerless Christian, and in some ways it's a contradiction of terms, but a prayerless Christian will quickly grow insensible to divine things. A prayerless Christian is well on the way to deep spiritual sleep. Believer, if ever there was a time when we needed to pray, it is now. If ever a time we needed to pray in the Holy Ghost, and pray believing, and pray for power, and pray for God's intervention, and pray for God's protection in our lives, in our spiritual walk with God, it is now. And if we fail to pray, we will find ourselves as Samson found himself, asleep when we should be awake. And these things led Samson into this dangerous sleep, and the very same things will lull the child of God. They will lull the child of God into spiritual sleep. Such a state of backsliding, this sad picture that's here in verse 19, such a state doesn't just happen. There's a process, there are steps, it takes time, decisions are made, a path is chosen, and little by little, the child of God finds his soul grows more and more insensible to those things that really matter. Whoever would have thought that the mighty Samson who killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, whoever thought that that mighty Samson would be found sleeping in the lap of a Delilah? It's unthinkable. And yet it happens. It's what coldness and carelessness does. Believers, we need to be aware of this. Think of the disciples in the garden of Gethsemane with Christ. They're just a stone's throw away from the Savior. And Christ is praying in an agony of prayer, his body sweating with great drops of blood. He's crying to his Father in heaven in the shadow of the cross, having told his disciples to watch and pray lest they would fall into temptation. And having prayed, Christ comes back, and what is happening to the disciples? They have fallen asleep. And we can go the same way. None of us are immune from this. And as you read through Judges 16, the alarm bells ought to be ringing. the pathway that leads to spiritual sleep. Look at the tragedy that accompanies spiritual sleep. Samson's carelessness had very, very serious consequences for him. Look at the details. Look at the details there in verse 19 to verse 21. She made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines, this is the third or fourth time she has said this to him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Those are tragic words. It's a tragic scene that's painted here. Samson's backsliding has come at a very, very heavy price. He now discovers that his sin results in tremendous losses for him. He went into that room, into that chamber. The word has the thought of a bedroom. Into that room, a self-confident man. And he's led out of that room like a slave in chains by his enemies. It's a tragedy. And it's always a tragedy. It's a personal tragedy for a believer who falls into this way of backsliding. It's a personal tragedy for that person, that man or woman. And it's a tragedy for the church of Christ. When the church of Jesus Christ becomes so insensible to divine things and what's taking place in the church. Spiritual indifference and spiritual carelessness and spiritual sleeping come at a heavy price for God's people. You'll notice here that Samson lost his strength. Verse 20 explicitly states that his strength departed from him. And that statement must be read in connection with the final words of the verse, because it tells us that the Lord was departed from him. Look there at verse 19. She began to afflict him, the end of the verse. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And then verse 20 tells us that the Lord was departed from him. The Lord went from him as well. The cutting of Samson's hair was a sign of his broken consecration to God. And God withdrew from him. And as a result of God departing from his servant, Samson became like any other man. His foolish behavior, his falling in love with Delilah, his setting his heart affection on something other than God, meant that he lost power with God. He lost his strength. The Lord withdrew from him, and he lost the power of God that he had. That's tragic. But so it is with the backslider. Sin weakens us. Sin weakens us. Christians who are careless with their walk with God suffer from spiritual powerlessness. We become easy prey for the devil. We don't accomplish much for God. We are weak. You see that in the case of Peter. I've mentioned Peter sleeping in the garden when Christ had told him to watch and pray lest he would fall into temptation. And Peter falls asleep. And just a few hours later, as Peter is in Pilate's judgment hall, and he stands and he warms himself by the fire in the company of our Lord's enemies. And the little maid comes and says, you were with him in the garden. And someone else comes along and says, your speech betrays you. You were with him there. And he denied he ever knew the Lord with oaths and curses. Peter, who just a few days earlier had said to Christ he was willing not just to follow him, but willing to die with him. Self-reliance. And then he's sleeping in the garden, and from that sleep in the garden, he denies he ever knew the Lord, and he's lost his strength. And we will lose our strength. We can so live as to grieve the Holy Spirit. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit and he withdraws from us, we become powerless. We become a very, very weak people. He lost his strength. He lost his sight. Verse 21 tells us the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. He lost his vision. Here was this mighty man of God, and he couldn't see a thing. He didn't know what his enemies were doing. He's led around by the will of the Philistines. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know what's happening. He doesn't understand what's taking place. He can't see what's going on around him. His eyes have been put out. And is there a parallel? Undoubtedly there is. Christians who are spiritually asleep are very easily led. Led into error. Led into sin. Led into the wrong company. Led into the wrong course. Led into the wrong way of life, easily led astray out of God's will, led into a way of life that's contrary to the gospel, they lose their vision. They lose a vision for souls. They lose an understanding for God's word and a desire for God's word. They can't see things properly. They can't see what's taking place. They can't understand what's happening. They can't see the work and the plan and the purpose of the devil. And it's tragedy. It's an absolute tragedy. He lost his service as well. Look at verse 21. The Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. There was a time when Samson was at war with the Philistines. Now he's working for the Philistines. He's serving in the wrong camp. They put him to work for them. For all intents and purposes, Samson's on the wrong side now. He's doing something for the Philistines instead of doing something against them. It's a tragic scene. Samson could have been doing something for God. He could have been using his time and strength serving God and bringing good to the nation. But he's chained as a slave and grinding at a Philistine mill. Believer, that's the tragedy that comes with spiritual sleep. Spiritual backsliding. When we become insensible to divine things, we suffer dreadful loss. Maybe I'm speaking to a backslider tonight and you've lost out with God. You look back to a time in your life when things were bright. When you loved the Lord with all your heart, as much as lay within you. But tonight it's so, so much different. And you're asleep spiritually. Sad, sad scene. It's a sad, sad position for a child of God to be in. To be so insensible to the things of God, so far off course, so far out of step and out of fellowship with the Lord. You lose your strength, you lose your sight, you lose your service. Can happen to believers who keep up an appearance and everything looks well. But in the heart, they know all is not well. The story doesn't finish there, and thank God it doesn't. Look at the recovery that is possible from spiritual sleep. Not just the pathway that leads to it and the tragedy that accompanies it. Look at the recovery. Because Samson doesn't stay in that dreadful situation. Closing verses of the chapter We didn't take time to read all of them tonight, but the closing verses of the chapter show Samson is a man with a desire to fulfill God's will for his life. He wants to be the judge again of Israel. He wants to strike a blow against his enemies. We find them back at prayer. In verse 28, Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. He's a man seeking opportunities to deliver Israel. A man who wants to use the remaining part of his life, and he knows if he fulfills what he's planning to do, this will be the end of his life. He is still blind physically, but he's now awake spiritually. And look at verse 22, because that gives us the explanation. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. The Philistines could cut his hair, but they could not cut his union with God. So the hair of his head began to grow. There was recovery for this man, so much so that he slew more in his death than he did in his life. And believer, there is recovery for sleeping believers, for Christians who have grown insensible. There is recovery for the church of Jesus Christ that finds itself asleep on the knees of the world. How does God do that? Well, he often uses the probing truth of his word. The psalmist speaks of the word of God being like an ox goad, prodding and pointing him in the right direction. The farmer seeking to get the ox to go in the right way, he would prod that ox to have it go in the direction he wanted it to go with the ox goad. And the word of God is like that. It prods us and it pushes us and it directs us and it guides us. And very often that's how the Lord awakens us. He takes the word and he applies the word to our hearts. And have there not been times in your Christian life when you have found yourself in this insensible state and you've come to the house of God or you've come to your Bible reading and you perhaps do it out of form, and as you read the word, the Lord just opens your heart to some text, and conviction comes, and the probing truth of God's word seems to startle you and stir your soul. Thank God the Lord does that. Thank God he does that through his word. Shakes us out of our apathy and out of our lethargy by the probing truth of his own precious word. He does it also by the powerful work of his Spirit. The Spirit is often described as the wind or the breath of God. Ever find yourself sleepy as you drive? One of the first things to do is you put down the window of the car. The hope that the cool air, the night air, refreshes you and keeps you alert. The child of God who finds himself sleeping spiritually needs to pray for the power of the Spirit of God, the breath of heaven, to awaken us, stir our souls, to refresh us again, for the Lord to come by his Spirit and to breathe upon us, that we would not be sleeping Christians. There's the providential sending of trials. Samson awakened out of his sleep here because he was in the midst of a trial. Delilah had the Philistines around him, and the Philistines have now taken him, and he's taken off as a prisoner, and it's a dark, dark trial for this man now, and the Lord uses that to awaken him. Sometimes the Lord in his providence sends us trials that we might ask ourselves, where am I with God? David said he was going astray, but the Lord had sent affliction, and it was good for him because it meant he wasn't going on astray. The affliction brought him back. And sometimes God awakens us by sending trials. let's not misuse the trials that God sends us. Sometimes he awakens us through the personal fellowship of his people. Iron sharpens iron. Sometimes a believer will come to another believer and ask him just a very simple question, everything okay with you? And that one inquiry is enough and is used by God to start off a chain of thoughts and a chain of events and cause a backslidden Christian to be drawn back to the Lord. The fellowship of God's people. That's why we need fellowship with each other. That's why we need to be in the Lord's house and with the Lord's people. Then there's also the precious application of his promises. Nothing that refreshes our hearts and minds more to know we have a promise from God. That he has not forsaken us. That there is hope for the wayward. There's grace for the backslider. There's help for the struggling. There's mercy for the wayward. There's grace for the child of God. Samson was recovered. And of course, this recovery of his meant he died. He died to the flesh. He was willing for that to happen. He's willing to die with the Philistines as he strikes a blow against the Philistines. And it's part of our recovery, dying to the flesh. Being crucified. We might do something and know something more. The grace of God. Verse 19 is a very sad verse. And I suggest it is. It's just a tragedy to see a man like this. But verse 22 bursts with hope. The hair of his head began to grow. You see, Samson is not the only judge in this chapter. We have another judge who never sleeps. We have a Savior who never slumbers. We have a Christ who never forsakes us. We have a Savior who never fails us. We have a Father who loves us with an everlasting love. And because of the unfailing love of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is recovery for the sleeping child of God. There is recovery for me in my times of spiritual sleepiness. There is recovery for you too, believer, in your times of growing cold and distant from the Lord. And there is recovery for the Church of Jesus Christ at large. We can't afford to sleep spiritually. This world needs a strong Christian voice. This world needs the child of God and the Church of Christ to be the salt of the earth. It needs us to be the light of the world. It needs us to be strong and walking close with God. And we can't afford, the Church of Christ cannot afford to be spiritually asleep in these days. Sin needs challenged, and sinners need won to Christ. And thank God, we have in Christ one who is the judge of all the earth, and he shall do right. And all the judges you read off in the book of Judges, they all had faults somewhere or another, but they all point us to the greater judge, to that time when Christ would come. And tonight we have such a Savior. And if tonight you have come into this service and you are asleep spiritually, you've lost out with God, there is recovery through his grace. May the hair of your head spiritually begin to grow. May I encourage you to give yourself to the word, to pray for the Lord's blessing, to be with the Lord's people, to enjoy the Lord's presence, to know the Lord's power. And let us pray together for a church in this nation that is awake, and for God's people who are revived. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight, for Jesus' sake. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for this time around thy word this evening. We do pray for thy blessing upon it. Lord, there are times when we have been where Samson was. We have been spiritually asleep. Our Father, we pray tonight that thou wilt stir our hearts. Awaken us, Lord. Cause the hair of our head to begin to grow again. We pray for thy church at large. O God, keep us from sleeping, we pray. Let the church of Jesus Christ be awakened. Revive us, Lord, in the midst of these days. May we have a voice that stands and declares the glory of our Savior, that this sin-cursed, dying world would know of a Savior mighty to save. To answer prayer, help us to watch and pray, lest we fall into temptation. May Christ have the glory and the honor. We pray in his name and for his sake. Amen.